He who sows and he who reaps will rejoice together. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 458. It is 4:28:16. Now, actually, it is 4:27 in the evening. I'm doing this in the evening today, since I will be unavailable tomorrow early. So, you get two today, all right? Talkative is moving on today, and evangelist comes alongside to prepare faithful and Christian for the coming trouble. Thank God that His Word always comes into our heart, into our attention before we get into trouble, if we will just heed that Word. We're talking about Pilgrim's Progress, and we're going to follow John Bunyan's classic just for a few more pages here, and actually we might even touch Charles Spurgeon tonight. Let's go ahead. Well, talkative and faithful are talking, and Christian has told talkative, or has told faithful, that you need to kind of push talkative away by telling him the truth. And so that's what talkative is hearing now from faithful, a bunch of truth. And now, sir, says faithful, as to this brief description of the work of grace and also the discovery of it, if you've ought to object, object. If not, then give me leave to propound to you a second question. Talkative says, nay, my part is not now to object, but to hear. So let me have your second question. Faithful says, it is this. Do you experience the first part of the description of it? Doth your life and conversation testify the same? Or standeth your religion in word or tongue and not in deed and truth? Pray, if you incline to answer me in this, say no more than you know the God above will say amen to. And also nothing but what your conscience can justify you in. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Besides, to say I am thus and thus, when my conversation and all my neighbors tell me I lie, is great wickedness. Talkative says, well, actually, he first began to blush. But recovering himself, he replied, you come now to experience, to conscience in God, and to appeal to him for justification of what is spoken. This kind of discourse I did not expect, nor am I disposed to give an answer to such questions, because I count not myself bound thereto, unless you take upon you to be a catechizer. And though you should so do, yet I may refuse to make you my judge. But I pray you will tell me why you ask me such questions. Faithful says, because I saw you forward to talk, and because I knew not what you had aught else but notion. And besides, to tell you the truth, I have heard of you that you're a man whose religion lies in talk, and that your conversation gives this your mouth profession the lie. They say you are a spot among Christians, and that religion fareth the worse for your ungodly conversation, that some already have stumbled at your wicked ways, and that more are in danger of being destroyed thereby. Your religion and an alehouse, and covetousness, and uncleanness, and swearing, and lying, and vain company-keeping, and so forth, will all stand together. The proverb is true of you, which is said of a whore, to wit, that she is a shame to all women, and so you are a shame to all professors. Talk of, since you're ready to take up reports and to judge so rashly as you do, I cannot but conclude you are some peevish or melancholy man, not fit to be discoursed with. And so, adieu. Then came up Christian and said to his brother, I told you how it would happen. Your words and his lust could not agree. He had rather leave your company than reform his life. But he is gone. As I said, let him go. The loss is no man's but his own. He has saved us the trouble of going from him. For he continuing, as I suppose he will do, as he is, he would have been but a blot in our company. Besides, the apostle says, from such withdraw thyself. Faithful says, but I am glad we had this little discourse with him. It may happen that he will think of it again. However, I've dealt plainly with him, and so I'm clear of his blood if he perisheth. Christian says, you did well to talk so plainly to him as you did. There's but little of this faithful dealing with men nowadays, and that makes religion so stink in the nostrils of many as it doth. For there are these talkative fools whose religion is only in word, and are debauched and vain in their conversation, that, being so much admitted into the fellowship of the godly, do puzzle the world, blemish Christianity, and grieve the sincere. I wish that all men would deal with such as you have done. Then should they either be made more conformable to religion, or the company of saints would be too hot for them. Then did Faithful say, how talkative at first lifts up his plumes, how bravely doth he speak, how he presumes to drive down all before him, but so soon as Faithful talks of heart work, like the moon that's past the full, into the wane he goes, and so will all but he that heart work knows. Well, thus they went on, talking of what they had seen by the way, and so made that way easy, which would otherwise no doubt have been tedious to them, for now they went through a wilderness. Now, when they were got almost quite out of this wilderness, Faithful chanced to cast his eye back and espied one coming after them, and he knew him. Oh, said Faithful to his brother, who comes yonder? Then Christian looked and said, it is my good friend Evangelist. Aye, and my good friend too, said Faithful, for 'twas he that set me the way to the gate. Now was Evangelist come up unto them, and thus saluted them. Peace be with you, dearly beloved, and peace be to your helpers. Welcome, welcome, my good Evangelist. The sight of thy countenance brings to my remembrance the ancient kindness you had in an unwearied laboring for my eternal good. Faithful says, and 1,000 times welcome, said good Faithful. Thy company, O sweet Evangelist, how desirable is it to us poor pilgrims? Then said Evangelist, how hath it fared with you, my friends, since the time of our last parting? What have you met with, and how have you behaved yourselves? Then Christian and Faithful told him of all things that had happened to them in the way, and how and with what difficulty they had arrived to that place. Evangelist said, right glad I am, not that you met with trials, but that you have been victors, and for that you have, notwithstanding many weaknesses, continued in the way to this very day. I say right glad am I of this thing, and that for my own sake and yours. I have sowed, and you have reaped. And the day is coming when both he that soweth and they that reaped shall rejoice together. That is, if you hold out, for in due time you shall reap, if you faint not. The crown is before you, and it's an incorruptible one. And so run, that you may obtain it. Some there be that set out for this crown, and after they've gone afar for it, another comes in and takes it from them. Hold fast, therefore, that you have, and let no man take your crown. You are not yet out of the gunshot of the devil. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let the kingdom be always before you, and believe steadfastly concerning things that are invisible. Let nothing that is on this side the other world get within you. And above all, look well to your own hearts and to the lusts thereof, for they are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Set your faces like a flint. You have all power in heaven and earth on your side. Then Christian thanked him for his exhortation, but told him withal that they would have him speak farther to them for their help the rest of the way, and the rather for that they well knew that he was a prophet and could tell them of things that might happen unto them, and also how they might resist and overcome them, to which request Faithful also consented. And so evangelist began as followeth. My sons, you have heard in the words of the truth of the gospel that you must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, that in every city bonds and afflictions abide in you, and therefore you cannot expect that you should go long on your pilgrimage without them, in some sort or other. You have found something of the truth of these testimonies upon you already, and more will immediately follow. For now, as you see, you are almost out of this wilderness, and therefore you will soon come into a town that you will, by and by, see before you. And in that town you will be hardly beset with enemies, who will strain hard, but they will kill you. And be you sure that one or both of you must seal the testimony which you hold with blood. But be you faithful unto death, and the king will give you a crown of life. He that shall die there, although his death will be unnatural, and his pains perhaps great, he will yet have the better of his fellow. And not only because he will be arrived at the celestial city soonest, but because he will escape many miseries that the other will meet with in the rest of his journey. But when you are come to the town, and shall find fulfilled what I have here related, then remember your friend, and quit yourselves like men, and commit the keeping of your souls to your God in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. And with that, we move over to Charles Spurgeon, whose chapter 14 of his book about Pilgrim's Progress is called Vanity Fair. He first begins with a quote from Bunyan. Then I saw in my dream that when they were got out of the wilderness, they presently saw a town before them. And the name of that town is Vanity. And at the town there is a fair kept, called Vanity Fair. It's kept all the year long. It beareth the name of Vanity Fair, because the town where it is kept is lighter than vanity. And also because all that is there sold, or that cometh thither, is vanity. As it is the saying of the wise, all that cometh is vanity, Ecclesiastes 11:8. Spurgeon says, the happiest state of a Christian is the holiest state. As there is most heat nearest to the sun, so there is most happiness nearest to Christ. No Christian enjoys comfort when his eyes are fixed on vanity. I do not blame ungodly men for rushing to their pleasures. Let them have their fill. That's all they have to enjoy. But Christians must seek their delights in a higher sphere than the insipid frivolities of the world. Vain pursuits are dangerous to renewed souls. Then back to Bunyan. Now, as I said, the way to the celestial city lies just through this town where this lusty fair is kept. And he that would go to the city, and yet not go through this town, it must needs go out of the world. Back to Spurgeon. When weary of the strife and sin that meets you on every hand, consider that all the saints have endured the same trial. They were not carried on beds of down to heaven, and you must not expect to travel more easily than they. They had to hazard their lives unto the death in the high places of the field, and you will not be crowned until you also have endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And therefore, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Back to Bunyan. Now, these pilgrims, as I said, must needs go through this fair. Well, so they did. But behold, even as they entered into the fair, all the people in the fair were moved, and the town itself, as it were, moved in a hubbub about them. And that for several reasons. First, the pilgrims were clothed with such kind of clothing as was diverse from the raiment of any that traded in that fair. The people, therefore, of the fair made a great gazing upon them. Some said they were fools, some that they were bedlams, and some that they were outlandish men. Secondly, and as they pondered at their apparel, so they did likewise at their speech. For few could understand what they said. They naturally spoke the language of Canaan, but they that kept the fair were the men of this world, so that from one end of the fair to the other, they seemed barbarians, each to the other. Well, Spurgeon has a comment on that and some good ones, but we have to stop there this time. Thank you for joining with me today in this odyssey through Pilgrim's Progress and Charles Spurgeon's book about Pilgrim's Progress, all at the same time. I hope that you are enjoying this. Also on my website, lots of good things for you to be checking out while you're here. I have a course on the Quran, a book I wrote about the Quran. I had a Bible in one hand and a Quran in the other, and was just going through the Quran and finding those things that didn't agree with that Bible to show people that there really is a difference between the Christian faith and Islam. For some think that since they all have the same God and everything, you know, it's all about the same. Oh, it's so very different, folks. And I hope that you'll check out this study on the Quran while you're here. Meanwhile, we started at John 4:36 tonight, and let's end there, remembering that he who sows and he who reaps will rejoice together. God bless you tonight.